Don't be a witch. Get off your broom for Rocktoberfest at the Rock Shop on Godfredsen. Check out the spooktacular savings. Get the chills out of your bones with a new fire pit. All on sale now at gravelly costs. Patios, retaining walls, flagstones, and ponds to keep all of your monsters happy. The leaves are falling and so are the prices. Now get 50% off fountains, statuary, pots, and benches to transform your yard from ordinary to extraordinary. Don't forget about your boys and ghouls. Select from the Rockhound Room crystals, gems, minerals, and fossils for their collective cauldrons. Just like the leaves, these deals won't last long. The Rock Shop on Godfredson. Call 734-455-5560 or check them out on the web, rock-shop.com.
Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Good Sunday morning. Thank you for tuning in and catching my drift this Sunday morning. I had a little frog in my throat there. It's going to be one of those mornings, I feel. Derek, did you catch the debate? It was wonderful, wasn't it? I was just amazed. We'll get to that later in the show. Let's take care of some business. We got a really wonderful guest from Americans for Prosperity on. Our sponsor this half hour is the Rock Shop out on Godfredson Road at exit 15 off of M14. And if you've never been to the Rock Shop, you really need to go there. Right now, they have 50% off of tons of stuff out there. Fountains, statuary, garden benches, and we're calling it Rocktoberfest. So if you've never been there, you really have to go. Marco and Helena Scappaticci do a wonderful job. When you buy rock at the Rock Shop or pavers or building walls, what you get is their commitment to you to give you one-on-one instruction for free and to make sure you're using the right stone for the application that you're putting into your courtyard or your yard or your back deck area. So it's a great place to go. 734-455-5560. Or you can see all the good things they got right online. They have a great website, www.rock-shop, that's shoppe.com. So give the guys a call, go check out their website. And you know what? It's wonderful when people sponsor this station and sponsor this show. Excuse me. And so go out and support these guys. Check out their shop. You'll see some really wonderful things. So 50% off of just about everything out there. You got to go out and see them. It's their fall special. So 734-455-5560. We're going to be talking a bit again about proposals on the Michigan ballot this year. And on line one, we have Scott Hagerstrom from Americans for Prosperity. Scott, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, always glad to have you on. So let's talk a little bit about Prop 5, because I think this is one that a lot of people don't understand and probably should have a better understanding of it. Because I had Mr. Dockett from Wayne Dockett from our local shop out in Whitmore Lake ask me about it, and I was like, well, you know, I don't know that I know enough either. Excuse me. So can you tell us a little bit about Prop 5, Scott?
Sure. Proposal 5 is very, very simple. It would place in the Michigan Constitution a two-thirds supermajority requirement. The legislature wants to raise taxes. This is currently in the applicable law in 16 other states. And even in Michigan, we have 15 provisions in the state constitution that require a legislative supermajority. One of those was a part of Proposal A that requires a supermajority to raise education property taxes. So all Proposal 5 does if the legislature wants to take more of the Michigan citizens' hard-earned money, they need a supermajority in the House and the Senate. And if they can't get a supermajority by a simple majority, they can go to the people of Michigan and ask the people that pay the taxes for permission to to raise their taxes.
So do you see any drawbacks? I mean, I've talked to a couple of legislators, local and at the state level, who are kind of against this, and I was bewildered that they were against this. What are the downsides that people are actually saying, and are they valid at all?
Well, it just depends on your point of view. If you believe the legislature and the state government have enough of our money, then you would vote yes on Proposal 5, because it would require them to come to a consensus if they want to raise taxes. Now, if you look at the groups that are lining up against this, it's Lansing Insider Groups, those that live off of our tax dollars and that want the opportunity to raise our taxes. You see Governor Snyder is opposed to this primarily because he wants to raise gasoline taxes and fees by $1.4 billion. Michigan already has the fifth highest tax on gasoline in the country, and this would raise the bar for him to attempt to raise taxes, in particular the gasoline tax, which he said is a top priority is after the election. So, you know, in a way, this is a great thing for those that want to end the partisan divide, because it would require consensus. It would require legislators to come together if they want to raise taxes. Now, another way to look at this is this would require legislators to focus, to laser focus on making government more efficient, and it would require them to focus on economic growth policies to raise revenue. I think we all know there's other ways to raise revenue for government without raising taxes, and that's to create an environment where we can grow economically. Michigan from 2000 to 2010 was the only state in the country to lose population, and that is not a way to grow revenue. If we can have economic growth, population growth, more employment, more businesses coming in, we can grow revenue to the state without raising taxes.
Right, and what is amazing to me is that Romney hit it right on the head during the debate this last week when he said, you know, the idea is not to raise taxes on any individual group, but to promote the economy to the point where there are more people paying taxes, there are more businesses paying taxes. And that is the way to go. It's just
Exactly. Common
sense. And why some legislators don't get that is beyond me. I'm just flabbergasted. So I'm glad he brought that out. And I think it was part of what made Obama looked so bad in his speech. So I guess you're right, too. When you hit the insiders, you know, that would explain why the legislators who don't want this to pass are for that, because obviously they do make their living for it. And maybe is it a control issue? Is that something you think may be going through their heads?
You know, there's some people that believe that there should be a select few that make decisions for the others. And there's this mentality. I worked in the Michigan legislature as staff for 15 years, and I see that mentality where they believe if they have more money, they can do great things. And, you know, I just come from it, and Americans for Prosperity comes from a very different perspective. I believe the Michigan citizens work very hard for their money, and they should be able to keep their hard-earned money, and government wants to take more of that money, all this proposal does is set a higher bar. It's very reasonable. It's not radical. It doesn't lower one tax. It says if you want to take more of our hard-earned money, raise taxes, you need to come to a consensus.
Yeah, and I think that's a great, great rule. So I was for this ahead of time, so I'm still for it. And, you know, I think you're right. I mean, already they have enough of our money. I worry that Governor Snyder, Rhino Rick, I'm fond of calling him, will use more money to do things like his bridge or a pet train project or something else. You know, right now we're at the bottom of the barrel. You got to stop digging, stop spending money. And
right. I
think this is a great way to force them to stop spending money because it probably will be a little more difficult for them to pass any kind of a tax increase on us if they got to go with the 2/3. Now, the other option is they put it to a vote of the people.
Yep, exactly. To the vote of the people in the November election. So we don't want any elections at odd times where not very many people are paying attention or show up. So this would allow them to go and get permission of the vote of the people at any November election.
Right. And so what are you feeling? Are you guys doing any surveying? Do you Do you have any polls showing how we're sitting on this proposal passing at this point?
You know, polls are all over the place, and we saw this with the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative back in 2006, and we see this with other initiatives on the ballot. There's some polls that show it. All polls show it ahead, the yes vote against the no. Some polls show it in the 60% range and some in the high 40s. So we're out there working hard and educating people and going on programs like this, which we appreciate the opportunity to be able to promote Proposal 5. And this is passed in every state except for one. So back in Ohio in 1983, it did not pass. But 17 other states have this. Governor Scott Walker just signed this into law in Wisconsin last year and is working on putting this in the Wisconsin Constitution. So we believe this is a very good protection for the taxpayers of the state. And there's nothing wrong with putting reasonable controls on our legislators.
Yeah, I think it's more than just a reasonable control. I think it's something we should have had a long time ago. We may not have found ourselves in the situation we're in now. Scott, give us your website so people know where to go to get information or to find out where you guys are going next.
Sure. Well, we have two websites. If you want information on all the ballot proposals, you can go to MichiganBallot.com, MichiganBallot.com. And we give our position on each of the six ballot proposals and reasons why we take that position and background information. And we have a ballot guide that you can download, and that's MichiganBallot.com. But you can also, for general information on Americans for Prosperity, you can go to MichiganAFP.com. That's MichiganAFP.com.
Okay, awesome. Now, are you guys, you hit the road quite often. Are you coming back to Ann Arbor, Livingston, Washtenaw area anytime soon with a meeting or a rally?
Yeah, it's not quite confirmed yet. But we are working on getting a couple things. On November 3rd, we're bringing Dinesh D'Souza to Oakland County. And then on Sunday, I believe it's October 28th, we are tentatively have Michelle Malkin scheduled to be in Brighton.
Nice. I would like to go see Michelle Malkin. That would be awesome. Well, if you need any help from us, Scott, contact me at the Current. Or okay. Gary at thedailydrift.com. I'll put you on the blog and try and drum up some support for you and let people know what's going on because you guys do great work. We appreciate everything you do, and anything we can do to help you out, let us know.
Well, I appreciate that. And if I can make one more point about Proposal 5.
Sure.
There's another proposal, Proposal 2, out there, and our top two goals are to defeat Proposal 2 and pass Proposal 5. But if any of these union these big labor union boss proposals pass, Proposal 5 is really the only protection we have against them completely annihilating taxpayers. As you know, Proposal 2 is a windfall for public sector unions, and creating the Mackinac Center will cost us as much as $1.6 billion.
Right.
So Proposal 5 is very important to counter if by some chance Proposal 2 or 4 passes.
So let me ask you, Scott, can you hang on through the break and we can talk a little bit more about Proposal 2?
Sure.
All right, hang on. We'll put you on hold. We're going to go to a break, and we'll catch you on the other side. Hold on, Scott.
Life's all about gaining perspective. So when it comes to planning your financial future, what's the value of having an independent perspective? Well, it's not just an opinion. We all have those, and we know where that can take us. At Selleck Wealth Management, they view it as informed and unbiased advice based on your individual needs. From a professional dedicated to helping you achieve your financial goals, something we all want to attain.
We're the independent wealth managers of Selleck Wealth Management. To gain from an independent perspective on your financial future, the next move is up to you. Let's talk.
Call Ron Selleck at Selleck Wealth Management, 800-292-3876. That's Selleck Wealth Management, 800-292-3876. Offices in Ann Arbor and Bingham Farms. Or online at www.sellickfinancial.com. Securities offered through First Allied Securities Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through First Allied Advisory Services Incorporated.
Hi, this is Joe Gannon. What you are hearing right now is a commercial for Dryer Vent Wizard, but more important, it's a consumer tip that could save your life. It's all about educating you on how dangerous a clothes dryer can be and how most homeowners need to become aware and educated on a plain, simple clothes dryer. You should not feel the least bit safe in your home unless you know the dryer is vented with the proper vent line, meets the proper length requirements, and most important, has been taken apart and the cavity cleaned of any loose lint which can ignite so easily. There are approximately 50 dryer fires a day in this country, and that number could be three times higher. A dryer needs to be taken apart once a year and the vent line cleaned out as well. When is the last time the maintenance was performed on your dryer? Dryer Vent Wizard can do all that is necessary to make sure your dryer doesn't catch fire. They have offices across the country, and you can call them today to set up an appointment. Their website is dryerventwizard.com or make the call to 866-498-SAFE.
Hi, I'm Matt Miller, chair of the 2012 Fest of the Fair, and I'm here with Chris Levlett, director at the Salvation Army Staples Family Center here in Ann Arbor. And I have to say, Chris, it's so inspiring to see how many people have overcome struggles and transformed their lives with your help.
Well, we all have it in us to succeed. When an individual or family is without a stable place to begin a better life, we're there. We give them a temporary home that's safe and supportive so they can focus on improving their life. We help them see their potential and have faith that with hard work, success is possible. The community has been so generous to help keep our doors open. At the Salvation Army Staples Family Center, the work is never done. There are always more people out there that desperately need our help.
And one of the best ways to help is to give at our fun-filled annual dinner and auction, The Festive Affair.
The Festive Affair, October 26th at Weber's Inn, has over 100 auction items, including vacation packages, event tickets, and lots more. To get tickets, you can visit thefestiveaffair.org or call 734-996-0100. You may also make a donation at thefestiveaffair.org.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. On the phones with us, we have Scott Hagerstrom from Americans for Prosperity, and we're talking about we just finished talking about Proposal 5 on the Michigan ballot, and now we're going to talk about Proposal 2. As always, if you have a question, you can call in 734-822-1600 and contact me, Gary, at thedailydrift.com if you want to email in your comments. So, Scott, looking at Proposal 2, I'll just give it a quick read here because I think this is what you see on the ballot. This proposal would grant public and private employees the constitutional right to organize and bargain collectively through labor unions. Let's talk about that first off. Private employees in the private sector already have that right, correct?
They do. They have that right under federal law. And so this would apply primarily to public sector unions.
And to be honest with you, I said this last week. You know, I have yet to find a public sector employee, a government employee, who is being overworked or harassed or ill-treated. If you've been to the Secretary of State's office, I don't think any of those people are harassed or ill-treated, as you can tell by the way you get treated most of the time. So that right off the bat, that part really doesn't do anything for anybody, correct?
Correct. You know, I come from from Southeast Michigan, very strong. All my family were union members in the private sector, and I don't want to certainly deny anyone in family the ability or the right to try to make as much money and benefits and bring home money for their family. But we have certain limits, and we need to have certain rules. And Proposal 2 was brought forward by Bob King. He's head of the United Auto Workers, and other unions have joined in. Pushing for this, and they realize the only area of growth for them is in the public sector union. So the largest UAW local in the world is in Lansing, Local 6000. I believe they have close to 17,000 members. And they realize that's their area of growth. So they're pushing this to enable them to continue to push and to build a larger government. And that's the primary reason why they're against Proposal 5, because that prevents them to build a larger government. the proposal, too, it sounds good when you read it. And it sounds, oh, sure, collective bargaining, we want to protect that. But the devil's in the details. And this could negate up to 170 current laws that the legislature has passed. For example, a public policy, if you sell drugs to any of your students in the classroom, you're done. You lose your job. Zero tolerance for selling drugs to kids. Now, that's state law. Under this, if this passes, if the union negotiates second or third chances for teachers, that would trump state law.
Right. And Bay City, we talked about this last week. Bay City is actually doing this with their teachers. They're trying to negotiate three strikes for being drunk on the job, three strikes for being under the influence on the job, or two strikes for being under the influence, and two strikes for actually selling drugs to kids.
Yep. I mean, and what we would have is a myriad of laws. In one school district, it could be five chances. In Detroit Public Schools, it could be 10. Whatever is negotiated, and that would be supreme. This would could apply to freedom of information laws. It applied to retirement. If teachers, we have a public policy in the state of Michigan for health care that was passed last year that requires public employees to contribute 20% to their health care. And that has been determined to be public policy. They had hearings in the House and the Senate. It passed through the House and the Senate and went to the governor for a signature. And under this, if this passes, every single contract between a union and a public entity in the state would rule supreme over that state law. So if one school district or one local community negotiated with their public government workers that they wanted zero contribution to their health care, that would rule over the public policy set by our legislators and governor.
Yeah. So in essence, it becomes the unions become a fourth branch of government with veto power not only over the legislator, but also over the governor.
Yes, over the taxpayers, over the citizens.
Yeah,
representatives.
I mean, and that's crazy. I mean, that's literally when you and that's the problem with messing with the Constitution. I mean, if you got something that you want to put in, pursue it through the legislature. You know, that I would at least have enough respect for you to listen to you. But
sure.
When you try to shove this down people's throats by jamming it into the Constitution, because for me, the Constitution should only contain things which pertain to each and every citizen in this state. It shouldn't pertain to anything with special interests. And I see so many of these proposals this time around are for special interests. It just blows my mind that anyone would even have come up with this idea. And I guess it smacks of the desperation of the unions to try and do this, wouldn't you say?
It really does. This is also contained within Proposal 2, would be a constitutional prohibition on allowing legislation that would allow workers the choice of whether or not to join a union. And this is controversial legislation, but no one's even proposed that legislation in Michigan. But Indiana just passed this law earlier this year, and they've literally attracted thousands and thousands of new jobs to Indiana because of this since earlier this year. And this prohibition on allowing this sort of law would be the first time ever in the country. And there's a fear that if this passes in Michigan, if Proposal 2 passes in Michigan, this will be a framework to take this to other states and make this the law in other states. And it really does smack of how desperate the unions are and the union leadership.
Yeah, it's that giant sucking sound you hear when you go to Southwest Michigan is businesses moving to Indiana because they went right to work. And the fact that this would, you know, this would literally cripple this state. In fact, we have Derek, hang with me, Scott. We're going to play something real quick. We have that track from Sam Zell, who's a billionaire, philanthropist, real estate mogul, who was speaking at U of M. Let's go with that track. Hang with me, Scott, while we listen to this real quick.
The election of Rick Snyder, in my opinion, was a terrific plus for Michigan. You're running a ballot initiative in Michigan next month that is kamikaze. I mean, literally, it's like driving a truck into a you know, closed canyon at 200 miles an hour.
Are you talking about the union?
Yeah. I mean, if that provision were passed, sell short Michigan. Get everything you can out of this state because it's going to be owned lock, stock, and barrel by a bunch of people who can vote themselves raises.
Now, you got your start in Ann Arbor here. Do you think that with the university you'll be able to weather the storm, not with or without that ballot proposal?
Well, as a major contributor to the university, I worry about the state of Michigan all the time.
Okay, so there you go. That's Sam Zell, one of U of M's most successful guys, and he's saying the same thing, Scott. He's saying, if this passes, get out. Just leave Michigan because you're not going to be able to do anything. This is like the nail in the coffin.
It is a nail in the coffin. What people don't realize, too, is, you know, right now we have a governor that will stand up to the unions. Not go as far as we would like, but he has done some good things in getting our fiscal house in order from an accounting perspective.
Right.
And part of the issue here is that...
Hey, Scott,
we have a Democrat governor...
Scott, hang tight for him, and when we can you hang through one more?
Sure.
All right, hang tight through one more, and we'll pick this up on the other side of this. This is a hard break. Thanks.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham! For the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Bay Ronex. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham! Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. With one presidential debate down and two more to go comes the one and only face-off between the GOP VP nominee and the incumbent.
Thursday, Vice President Biden is back on the debate stage, this time facing Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan. It'll be wide-ranging, covering both domestic and foreign policy, moderated by ABC News correspondent Martha Raddatz at Center College in Danville, Kentucky.
Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern. Big day at Talladega for NASCAR fans.
Racing at Talladega means dealing with restrictor plate and tandem racing, but Matt Kenseth says he's ready.
For the first time in my career, I probably really look forward to going to Talladega. Our plate stuff has been extremely strong this year.
For Jimmy Johnson, the key to Talladega is to
hope that you don't hit anything too hard and you can get to pit lane and get it fixed.
Brad Keselowski won Talladega's spring race.
Fox News Radio's Marge Tashina. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Plan to attend the Stand Up for Religious Freedom rally Saturday, October 20th between 12 noon and 1 p.m. at Dearborn City Hall, Michigan Avenue, and Schaefer Road. Join Catholic Archbishop Alan Vigneron and local community leaders in a public witness against Obama's health and human services mandate. For more information, go to standuprally.com. Again, the rally is October 20th, 12 noon at the corner of Michigan Avenue and Schaefer Road in Dearborn. You can make a difference. Be the response. Public health emergencies can occur at any time of the year. If you want to make a difference in the community during public health emergencies or special events, the Monroe County Medical Reserve Corps is looking for you. Volunteers are needed to fill both health professional and non-medical support roles that may be needed in a public health emergency. An orientation session for those interested in becoming Monroe County MRC volunteers will be held Tuesday, October 30th from 5:30 p.m. until 6:30 p.m. To learn more, call 734-240-7862 or visit MRC at monroemi.org. Check out the wide variety of educational fun events put on by the Ann Arbor District Library for kids preschool through 12th grade. All library facilities can be reached by phone through the main switchboard at 734-327-4200, or you can visit www.aadl.org. Check it out.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, brought to you by the Vincent Law Firm. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Thank you, forefathers, and thank you, Vincent Law Firm, for supporting that Bill of Rights and that document 24-7. The Vincent Law Firm, located at 302 North Huron Street in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Contact the Vincent Law Firm at 734-487-4970 or visit the Vincent Law Firm on the web at vincentlegalservices.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back to Sunday Morning at The Drift. Our sponsor this half hour is The Current newspaper, currentonline.com, C-O-U-R-A-N-T-online.com. Grow your business by advertising in The Current. Call Sam Iaquinto, 734-323-0777. Grow your paper with us. Go to currentonline.com for more information. And the October issue is out, so you can actually see it online. We now have the new flip docs, which makes it really cool to read online. With us this morning, we have Scott Hagerstrom from Americans for Prosperity. Scott is the director of the Michigan chapter for Americans for Prosperity. Scott, before I cut you off so rudely there at the break, we were talking about Prop 2. And one of the things that worries me most is that this will, if it passed, prevent Michigan from ever becoming a right-to-work state, correct?
That is correct. It'd be the first constitutional prohibition in the country.
Yeah, and that would literally make us as non-competitive as you could possibly be. I mean, you think things are bad in Michigan right now. If we can't make any more strides toward making it easier to do business in the state, you might as well just shut the door. And that's what Sam Zell was saying, you know, sell short and get out of Michigan because we're not going anywhere. It almost seems to me that there are certain sectors of our culture, of our economy here in Michigan that want to drive people away. They want to drive business away. Call me a conspiracy nut, but it seems you don't make those kind of mistakes. You know what I mean? It's like they're doing it with an agenda.
There are several motivations for people out there, and certainly with Indiana being right to work, if this passes, it will permanently make Michigan a vacation wonderland for the residents of Indiana because their economy will grow and strive, and we'll just have to rely on tourism for our foundation. And this is just bad public policy. It's a power grab by the unions. And the point I was making before the break is that if we have a Democrat governor under this proposal, they could negotiate away, they could just ignore the legislature, and they could negotiate away whatever they wanted to the unions, no matter what state law said, and give it to them. So, if they wanted to give 20% pay raises, have them pay 0% towards their retirement, 0% towards their health care, allow them to be drunk on the job up to 10, 20 times prior to being fired, it would all be permissible. They could just thumb their nose at the legislature. This is outrageous. This is very outrageous. You know, in 1965, we were a ninth in per capita personal income. We were a rich state. Today, we're 36th. And this, we need to be more and more competitive. And there has been some strides over the past year and a half, but we have a long ways to go because as we make strides to be more competitive, other states are making even further strides. So even though we're near the bottom of the barrel and we make strides, those other states are moving forward. And like Indiana passing right to work,
right.
They're just going to destroy us economically. And if this passes, this will just the person you had on the donor to U of M, we have this mentality in Michigan that we want to have class warfare. And I want people that are rich and successful to bring their money to Michigan. We saw Tom Monahan. He was going to build Ave Maria, a $200 million campus right in the Ann Arbor area. And the voters went and approved some changes. I believe there were zoning changes. And he took his money to another state. And we see this happen time and time again. Thompson, he's a donor. He wanted to build five private high schools. Charter High School's $200 million investment in the city of Detroit, and the city of Detroit said, no, we don't want your money because they're bowing to the union.
Yeah, it's amazing.
People are successful.
Yeah, it's amazing that like here in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor that they actually drove Tom Monahan away. I mean, I remember that to this day, that why would you cut off your nose to spite your face? Because that's what they did. I mean, it just befounds me. And the other thing that I wanted to ask you about, too, is does Proposition 2 or Proposal 2 repeal a special provision, which is Public Act 312, for public safety officers, police and firemen? Will it keep them from being able to arbitrate? And because I had heard that, and I'm kind of reading through some material here. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, my understanding of the law is that it will repeal anything that is negotiated between the union and the entity. So if they, all these laws still stay on the books until they're negotiated away. So it could be taken away from police in one community, but police in another community could still continue to have arbitration.
Yeah, because police and firemen are forbidden to strike right now. That's they can't do that. So they rely on arbitration to do this. But if Proposal 2 passed, they wouldn't have that arbitration anymore. And they can't strike, or I guess they would strike at that point because they don't have any other choice.
Well, that's an interesting question, because teachers now can't strike, and there's provisions within Proposal 2. They say, well, there's a carve-out against striking, but they were able to negotiate away all the penalties for striking, and we saw here in Michigan what happens if there's no penalty, for example, with teachers, that they would continue to strike. So there's a lot of unknowns on this, and there's a lot of people that were mad at the Michigan Supreme Court that put this on the ballot, because the Michigan Constitution allows for people to go to the ballot, to gather signatures, put an issue on the ballot, to amend the Constitution on a single issue. Well, this is not a single issue. This is all-encompassing, changes many things within the Constitution. So it's very interesting that this is even on the ballot. But, you know, the unions are taking the fight to us, and they are bringing up the issue of right to work. They're bringing up this issue, and they're forcing the issue. And if this passes, or I'm sorry, if this is defeated, it's a huge loss for the unions, and I think that opens the door to a lot of different legislation after the election. And I hope the citizens of Michigan see through this. This will benefit 3% of the workers in Michigan, the public sector workers. It'll allow the unions to grow their power over government, over taxpayers. Mackinac Center says $1.6 billion. I think it'll end up being much more than that, the cost of this proposal. And we need to move Michigan forward on the right path, and this absolutely has to be defeated, and Michigan will become economically destroyed if this passes.
Yeah, it'll be a nightmare. I mean, literally, when you say 3%, if it gets passed, it goes into the Constitution that 3% of the population of the state will shackle, literally put in chains the taxpayers of this state, so that they can do whatever they want with raises, with giving themselves benefits, with no participation. It really is. It's to me, you know, I hate to say it, but it's a form of financial slavery, because the taxpayers will be on the hook forever if it's enshrined in the Constitution, yeah?
Exactly. And like I said earlier, if for some reason this passes, we absolutely need Proposal 5 to pass to protect taxpayers. That will allow us to continue to kick the can down the road to continue this fight. But if Proposal 2 passes and 5 fails, we're in trouble. We're in real trouble, and we don't have any protection for Michigan taxpayers whatsoever.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Scott. We're going to tell people is vote no on 2, obviously, and vote yes on 5.
Yes.
Okay, got it. All right. Well, Scott, thank you so much for coming on. Anytime you have something you want to get out to the public, feel free to call us or email us, and we'll do our best to help you out, because we love what you guys do for us. So that's Scott Hagerstrom from Americans for Prosperity. Thank you so much again, Scott.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. So there you go. In a nutshell, you have to vote. You don't just vote no. You need to get out and tell people to vote no on Proposal 2. This is bad for the state. This will throw us right in the gutter. It'll put us at the bottom of the barrel for competitiveness when with business in this country. I mean, if you think things are bad now, it will get worse, way worse, if you pass Proposal 2. And of course, you heard Scott, Proposal 5 is simply a limitation on our legislature being able to tax us. They're going to need two-thirds vote, not a simple majority. So let's take a break, Derek, and when we come back, we're going to move on to some other issues and maybe talk a little bit about that debate we had this week. We'll see you on the other side.
It's time for This American Voice with Theron, brought to you by Flying Dutchman Management. Now here's Theron.
The Daily Caller just released an Obama speech made in 2007 while he was still an Illinois state senator. This is a must-hear, must-see speech. And pay close attention to the pandering vocal cadence. It may be too little too late, but you owe it to yourself to hear this speech. It can be heard at thedailycaller.com. Obama goes over the top, lavishing praise on Jeremiah Wright, his former pastor for over 20 years and one of the most racially divisive and flat-out racist pseudo-churches in America, the Trinity Church of Chicago. The Trinity Church of Chicago isn't about Christianity. It's about black liberation theology, and that's about Marxism and racist hatred of America, in particular what Reverend Wright would term white America. I don't know about you, but I didn't miss this on the first go-around with our community organizer-in-chief, occupying the White House. He conveniently disavowed Wright after that speech, but only so as to throw you off the trail that leads to where he's been and still is, sitting, cheering, praising Jeremiah Wright and black liberation theology. You owe it to yourself, your family, and your country to hear the real Barack Hussein Obama. Find this speech and listen to it.
Ann Arbor's Hogback Office Center off of US 23 and Washtenaw Avenue offers a beautiful rolling 5-acre country atmosphere. Your clients will be more than impressed. The professional office suites at the Hogback Office Center range from 960 to 5,000 square feet. They're very competitively priced and your clients will appreciate free parking. Call Susan Watrous at 734-971-4000 for more information or visit FlyingDutchmanMGT.com.
Reagan conservatism, in my view, is not, okay, we throw out a bunch of big ideas, we try all of them, and we see which one works at the end after a whole bunch of money has been spent. That's not conservatism in the Burkean tradition. No, that's a different type of conservatism. Call it compassionate or call it big ideas conservatism. Call it Gingrich conservatism.
Laura Ingraham, weekdays, noon to 3 on WHAM. Talk 1600. Talk 1600. WAAM Ann Arbor.
Vaccine-preventable infections kill 50,000 American adults each year. That's more than HIV/AIDS, breast cancer, or traffic accidents. I'm Representative Gail Haynes of Michigan. On behalf of women in government, I urge you to talk to your doctor about the vaccines you need from birth through adulthood. You can protect yourself. Please visit womeningovernment.org.
I'm Laurel Fetterbush. I'm a professional harpist with a Doctor of Musical Arts degree from the University of Michigan. I play the harp at weddings, receptions, dinners, and special events of all kinds anywhere in southeastern Michigan. Flute and harp duo also available. I'm a licensed wedding officiant as well. Please call 1-800-439-5319. That's 1-800-439-5319. Or go to Rush, that's R-U-S-C-H, entertainment.com. Professional harp playing will enhance any event. Call 1-800-439-5319.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. Send the Drift on WHAM Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. So, if you count the debate this week, you saw that the big O got a shellacking. And it was good to see. I was a little worried that Romney would not perform well, but man, he was on his game. And he hands down won. There was all kinds. If you go to the Daily Drift, go to currentonline.com, click on the Daily Drift. I put all the links and stories, do the homework for you, basically, that allow you to catch up on what's happening in the country. And there's some video there of the speech and other things. So definitely, if you missed that debate, you want to go back and see it or at least catch the main snippets of it. But, you know, people say Barack Obama was performing badly. Well, you know what? It's not that he was performing badly. It's just he's got nothing to talk about. You know, he tried going back to the same old story about his grandmother that he used in the 2008 election. Well, you can only sell that empty can for so long. And I think people are tired of it. So he couldn't keep up with Romney, and I think the next debate is foreign policy, so I'm looking forward to that one. I will stay up late again to watch it. But oddly enough, right after the debate, the unemployment figures for September came out, and of course, lo and behold, all of a sudden it's 7.8%, a drop of, I think it was 8.1 the month previous. And so, of course, some people are saying, oh, what a coincidence that it happens after a trouncing in a debate. He gets great jobs numbers. Well, Jack Welch, former CEO of General Electric, happened to tweet a little Twitter that said, unbelievable jobs numbers. These Chicago guys will do anything. Can't debate, so they changed the numbers. Well, that caused an uproar. People saying, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. The Board of Labor Statistics can't do, Bureau of Labor and Statistics can't do anything. Frankly, it crossed my mind as well. I mean, we know right off the bat that the unemployment figures aren't correct anyways, because when they consider people, if you are not looking for a job, if you've given up, or are working as underemployed, you're not considered unemployed. If you have lost your unemployment because you've run out of it, you've been on it so long, you are no longer considered unemployed. When you put those people back into the mix, the unemployment rate is far, far higher than 8%. And the other figure that they're not taking into effect is the amount of people not in the workforce at this point. We are at a 30-year low for workforce participation in this country. 30-year low. Now, imagine what our population is compared to 30 years ago. So the numbers are skewed right from the get-go. Whether they played with them or fudged them or not, the numbers are skewed. Now, we have Hilda Solis, who is the Secretary of Labor under the Obama administration. She got interviewed by, I don't have it down here. But anyways, it's one of the blogs, financial blogs. So let's play track two, Derek, and hear her response to this accusation.
A lot of people out there do not believe the 7.8 number. They believe that somehow BLS fixed this to coincide with the election cycle. What is labor's response?
You know, I'm insulted when I hear that, because we have a very professional civil service organization where you have top economists that work at the BLS. They've been doing these calculations. These are our best trained and best skilled individuals that have been working in the BLS. And it's really ludicrous to hear that kind of statement.
Okay, so obviously she's in a tizzy because anyone would accuse her. Now, frankly, I don't believe that they fudged the numbers. They didn't have to, frankly. They're already fudging them by not including people who are truly unemployed. Just because your unemployment ran out doesn't mean you're back into work. It means you're still unemployed. You just don't count them anymore. So I don't believe they did anything different than they've been doing all along. The unemployment rate is far higher than what they're saying. People just they're not reporting it. But one of the other things that we'll show you, we have a track here from James Shirk, who is a senior policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation. He's being interviewed by Simon Constable on Wall Street Journal's daily blog. Let's run with track three, and this guy explains it a little better. Go with track three, Derek.
So how can it not be a conspiracy and the numbers be wrong at the same time? Please square that circle for us.
It's survey error. The household survey, which is what the unemployment rate is based on, is a survey of a much smaller number of Americans than the payroll survey, which is where we get the estimates of job creation. And if you have a smaller survey, you're going to have a larger margin of error. And every so often you get polls, results that just come outside of the margin of error. That's just that's a law of statistics. You know, 19 times out of 20, the survey results are within the margin of error. The 20th time out of 20, they're outside the margin of error.
And you think that's what you think here? This is the one time in 20 when it's not truly reflecting what's going on in the economy. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, if these numbers are accurate, we're in the midst of a major economic boom. But if you look at the GDP numbers, which were revised downwards to just a bit above 1%, if you look at the number of Americans claiming unemployment insurance each week, it's still stuck around 370,000. That's quite weak. If you look at the payroll survey, I mean, if we'd really had 900,000 more Americans find jobs this past month, you would have seen the payroll survey show enormous job growth. Instead, it showed what everyone expected of an economy just sort of chugging along, just fast enough to avoid stalling out, but not really growing that quickly. And so I think when you've got a noisy survey, that produces a result at variance with every other economic indicator out there, you say, wait till next month, and we're probably going to see it jump back up again.
So it's
okay, so there you go. Smoke and mirrors, shuck and jive. You know, at best, it's simply a fluke. At worst, maybe it was a fudge. I mean, if you've got the Bureau of Labor and Statistics basing a survey on 60,000 people and they're calling, do you think they might be able to fudge who they're calling or what areas they're calling? They probably certainly avoided making phone calls to Michigan or the state city of Detroit area, because you certainly don't want those people saying, hey, I'm still not working for 4 years in a row now. What it comes down to is this. Barack Hussein Obama came into office with a 7.8% unemployment rate. He's hopefully leaving office at this point with a 7.8% unemployment rate. In the end, we've spent trillions of dollars on stimulus, on plans, on spending, and he hasn't changed anything. I don't care if this is the if this is really the unemployment rate, 7.8%. He has done nothing except spend our money for 4 years. Now, that's outrageous that anyone would even consider reelecting this man, because he obviously has no idea of what it is he's doing. This, I'm going to call him an imbecile. He's probably not, because he's either the most incredibly stupid man or he's got an agenda that does not bode well for America. The decision is so clear and concise this time. And I don't, not that I believe the polls, but the fact that even 30% could want to reelect Obama is amazing to me. I mean, gas prices are double what they were 4 years ago. And that would be fine if we were all working and making more money. But we're not. More people are out of work. Or in this case, the same number of people are out of work. If you believe the numbers. Frankly, I don't believe the numbers. So the choice is quite clear. A man who does not know how to run a business or a country, or Romney, a man who does. Now, Joe Biden, foot and mouth Joe, I like to call him, came out this month and or this week and had another little snippet fall forth from his mouth. Let's go with track four. He's talking about taxes. Let's go with track
four.
We're
going to ask the wealthy to pay more. My heart breaks. Come on, man. You know the phrase they always use? Obama and Biden want to raise taxes by $8 trillion. Guess what? Yes, we do, in one regard. We want to let that $1 trillion tax cut expire so the middle class doesn't have to bear the burden of all that money going to the super wealthy. That's not a tax raise, Rob. That's called fairness, where I come from.
Where do you come from, Joe? Do you come from Moscow? This man is a pure and unadulterated communist wearing socialist clothing. Foot and mouth, Joe, thank you again for giving us another bomb to throw back at you, because you are, without a doubt, the most heinous man we could ever have in the vice presidential position. I couldn't imagine, if anything happened to Barack Obama, that this idiot would be stepping into the office, the Oval Office. It's incredible. There's no way. Even if Barack Obama wins this time around, in 4 years, they're not going to be nominating Joe. There's just no way. The man is a complete idiot. And for him to say something like, number one, it's $1 trillion. You know, the super wealthy are not paying $1 trillion. We've been through this before. There's no way to – you can take all the money from the super rich in this country and you pay for 1 year worth of government spending. That's all it does. So you're not taking that little tiny 1% up there when you get that $1 trillion tax cut that he's talking about. Number one, it's not a tax cut. This is where the rate is right now. Tax cuts don't cost money. And how – the middle class is bearing the brunt of somebody else getting money is beyond me. What burden is there on me or you for somebody else to make some money? They're earning their money. They're not taking it out of our pockets. How am I losing money out of my pocket when Bill Gates makes another $1 million? He's not taking it from my business. He's certainly not taking it out of my pocket. He's not digging in my pocket unless I buy a computer. Until next time, do your homework. Go to currentonline.com, click on the Daily Drift. Stay abreast with me as I get the information that you're not getting elsewhere. And pay attention to this station and the shows that are on it. Until next week, have a good week.
Be a witch. Get off your broom for Rocktoberfest at the Rock Shop on Godfredson. Check out the spooktacular savings. Get the chills out of your bones with a new fire pit. All on sale now at gravelly costs. Patios, retaining walls, flagstones, and ponds to keep all of your monsters happy. The leaves are falling and so are the prices. Now get 50% off fountains, statuary, pots, and benches to transform your yard from ordinary to extraordinary. Don't forget about your boys and ghouls. Select from the Rockhound Room crystals, gems, minerals, and fossils for their collective cauldrons. Just like the leaves, these deals won't last long. The Rock Shop on Godfredson. Call 734-455-5560 or check them out on the web, rock-shop.com.